tight and turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time, second grade on down. Mr. Frank. All right. Brother Bob complained that I was running in the auditorium this morning, and he's submitting me for church discipline tonight. But I'll tell you, that's the first time in 6 months that Bob has been awake in the back there on Sunday morning. His eyes were about this big as I came running down the center aisle. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. The title of the message this evening comes from a 1972 book that was written on the subject. And the title of that book was Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. And that was 1972, and I'm here to tell you that he is still going strong in 2025. He is absolutely at work in the world in which we live. The problem is that we have become ignorant of his devices. The world doesn't like to talk about it. It's not scholarly to say there's a Satan that is at work that causes people to do evil things. Demon possession is not something that is going to be found in scholarly circles and talked about readily in the medical community, but it is he is absolutely active. We're in Ezekiel 28. Let's start at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee, in the day that thou was created. Now, there are those that would like to tell you that Jesus Christ was created, a created being, but Jesus Christ is God. And we showed that in the doctrine of God, doctrine of Jesus Christ, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. They line up in their attributes. But Satan was created. He was a created being. In the day that thou was created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. So the second time in this short text, it is mentioned that Satan was created till iniquity was found in me. Verse 16 says, Thou hast sinned, I will cast thee profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Verse 17 tells us, Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Pride is a destroyer. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. And it is just a good reminder. I love Brother Reed. He is a good friend. He has just a lot of good old-fashioned, down-home, on-the-farm, godly wisdom. Now, you talk to him, you might say, you know, this guy's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He has, if you've ever heard him preach, he gets started in a text, and you immediately say, where in the world is he going? And then about halfway through the message, you go, I know, he is absolutely lost. He has no idea where he's going. And then he comes right down to the end of the message. He draws all the text together and whacks you with a 2x4 over the head, and you didn't see it coming. He just has a great ability to be able to talk to him. I talked to him several years ago about an issue that the Virginia pastors were having, and this is what he said to me. He said, you know, what do you think they should do about this matter that has come up before them? And he said, you know, Brother Bishop, I find that Christians bring joy into the life of others. All Christians do. And I'm thinking, this Christian ain't.
And he says, you know, Brother Bishop, some people bring joy into the lives of others when they walk into the room. Other people bring joy into the lives of others when they leave the room. But everybody brings joy. And then he smiled. And he said, and I'm looking forward to him to leave. and you just had to laugh. You had no idea where he was going. He just got that kind of wisdom. 2 weeks ago, he stood in a pulpit. And I am standing in a pulpit this evening. And tonight, he is in a rehab facility. Two strokes over the past week. And they are. I talked to Mike Jr. This afternoon. Accidentally. How do you talk to somebody accidentally? Well, Brother Beatty called me during church this morning to let me know that their preacher was having a hard time. Brother Beatty is the male guy that comes on Wednesday night, sits over here. And so I called him back and I said, Brother, I'm sorry I couldn't pick up your call. I was working. I was in church. And he said, Oh, okay, hold on. And there's something going in the background. It sounds like he put the phone underwater. And then all of a sudden, the voice on the other end of the phone was not Brother Beatty anymore. And said, this is Brother Reed Jr. And I just want to talk to you about my dad and thank you for calling. And so I had an opportunity. They are hopeful and anticipating a complete recovery. I believe it's going to take all of 90 days. And over the next 90 days, they are expecting him to make steady progress every day. And in 90 days, whatever progress he has made is all the progress that he's going to make. I don't believe that there will be any improvement after 90 days. I say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because every day is a gift. You have a great brain, a great mind. Young people, you think you have great youth and it's going to go on forever. But at any point, that could be taken away from you. Every day is a gift of God. And when we get lifted up in pride, and we think that we are the only ones that have the brains, we're the only pastor, we're the only deacon, we're the only Sunday school teacher, we're only a bus worker, the world can't survive without us, we are in great danger, great danger. Satan was lifted up. His sin was that of pride. He knew better than God. Don't let that be you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, look at several texts this evening, and help you to understand the doctrine. Tonight is the doctrine of Satan. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening to understand your word and understand that we have an adversary and that we would not be ignorant of his devices. Help us to do what is right. Help us to do it in the right way. Help us to understand our adversary and help us to avail ourselves to the protections that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in the Spirit, we pray. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're doing doctrines on Sunday night. We've done doctrine of God, doctrine of Jesus Christ, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And then we did guardian angels. That's real neat. And we talked about that this morning. So let's just start. Let's just take off from where we left off this morning. Where's my helper? Oh, I know. There's the evil one. Oh, there's the good one. Come on, come on, evil one. They said Theo accused me of breaking the music stand, so I figured I'd just finish it off tonight. So for those of you that were in children's church or those children that were not in the room, we looked at 2 Kings. Now we have a king, and he's going after the preacher. The preacher's Elisha. And Elisha, the king has sent an army after Elisha, and they have located him at Dothan. They sent chariots in the middle of the night. They surrounded the city. And daybreak is hitting. Elisha is getting up. Elisha's assistant is getting up. And the assistant sees all the chariots from the army that has come to arrest Elisha. And he is absolutely frightened. And Elisha says to his servant, says, don't worry, because they that be with us are more than they that be against us. How many did they have? You could see two. You could see Elisha and his servant. And it doesn't take
1, 2. This is not more than all the people that have the city surrounded, and the chariots and the horses and the men of valiant in battle. And so Elisha, he is spiritually perceptive, and he realizes that God has him in a position, that God is able to protect him, that there are angelic beings that protect us. And he says, and he prays, the Lord open his eyes, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. And God opened the eyes of the young man, and he could see the chariots of fire that had surrounded Elisha. And so I said, those chariots, we got the bad guy, the adversary, and they're standing around protecting, and he's not going to get through. He's just not getting through. And Elisha had that confidence. Now, young people, you are not in the room this morning. You cannot live with one foot in church and one foot in the world.
Amen.
And you can say, I'm in church on Sunday, I'm at the altar, I'm praying, I'm getting things right, I'm walking with God. But then comes Monday, and on Monday morning when you say, God, leave me alone until next Sunday, all those valiant soldiers of the cross, guardian angels that would protect you, you send them away, they go on vacation, and there's nobody to block the adversary. And I wish you could see his face. I wish you could see his face. Attack him. Yeah, and just a constant bombardment. Now, we mentioned this morning, he is a believer. He knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, so he cannot be demon-possessed. Satan cannot come inside him and live and take over him from the inside. But if you for a moment don't think that Satan has his minions that can attack you and will attack you from the outside, you're living in a delusional world. So he gets attacked, he gets attacked, he gets attacked, he gets attacked, he gets beaten, hitting him in the kneecaps, pulling on his keychain. And then what do you do? Like Peter, he's in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's bid me that I come to the water on thee. Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he starts to sink. And what does Jesus say? You good for nothing, two-bit, half-wit disciple, I hope you drown. No, that's not what he said. What did Jesus say? Peter cried out, Lord, help me. And Jesus reached down and helped him up. So, you want... Get away from him. Get away! Because he is now employed. He's cried out for help. Lord, help me. Thank you. Go sit down. Thank you for not hurting him and not hurting me. Satan is alive. He is a real being. He is alive and well on planet Earth. And we're going to show that to you this evening. My goal for you this morning was to awaken you. My prayer for you this morning was that God would open your eyes, that you would see that God wants to protect you, and that you would see that Satan wants to destroy you. And he absolutely does. There are a kind of a list. There are covered angels, guardian angels, fallen angels, demonic angels. And from this morning, they know their time is short. They have a head. They have a demon head. Satan. Why do many Christians fail in their struggle with the flesh? I won't have you raise your hand. How many of you have ever, if you ask, I think anybody that is honest would say, yes, I have failed in my spiritual warfare. I have let down my guard. I have not walked in the Spirit. And the flesh, Satan, his minions have attacked me. Attacked me in the home, attacked my family, attacked. And I've suffered as a result until I have cried out. J. Dwight Pentecost, writing on your adversary, the devil, said this. No individual can be victorious against the adversary, our souls, unless he understands that adversary. Unless he understands his philosophy, his methods of operation, his methods of temptation. But sadly, today, we hear very little about Satan. And consequently, many who recognize Satan's existence, that would be the Christians, and acknowledge that he is the enemy, that would be Christians, the enemy of their souls, we are ill prepared to meet him because we walk in the flesh, and you will absolutely fall under the onslaught of Satan. There's barely a day that goes by that the news feed doesn't ding with a preacher who has gone off into sin. How did that happen? How does it happen that a preacher preaches the Word of God, preaches what is right to do, goes and does something just absolutely contrary to God's Word? How does that happen? Well, he got up in the morning and he said, you know what? Today I don't need God's help. And Satan goes, boy, do we have a good target for today. Everybody go to 5901 Wilton Road and hit Bishop because he's walking in the flesh today. He said he doesn't need God protection. And Satan might not come to you himself. He is not omnipresent. But he's got lots of little helpers. A third of the angels fell. There's a lot of them out there that are looking to destroy you. But we know from Ezekiel chapter 28 that Satan is a created being, that he was perfectly created until iniquity was found in him. But today, he still has access. We saw that this morning from the book of Job, right from the very beginning, when he was cast out of heaven. He still has access. Now, I've shared this before. I liken this because people struggle with this. How is it that Satan can have access to heaven? Now, you can go down to the courthouse. You can walk in the front door. You go through the magnetometers. The sheriff department, the security people will greet you. You can walk into the courthouse. But if you think you're going into the judge's chambers, then you have another thing coming. There is a little key card. There are little doors hidden. There are little places that you will not be able to go. But you can go to the courtroom. Sometimes you can even get in. Many times the courtroom door is locked. Why? And you have no access until the bailiff comes over, unlocks the door, and says, if you have a case today, then come in. And they open the door, and people file into the courtroom, and they sit in the pews. There is a little banister up front, and you don't go beyond that. If you walk around that banister and start to approach the judge, you're going to jail. There are all going to be all kinds of meaty guys that are going to pile on top of you and to beat you within an inch of your life. Why? Because they are there to protect the judge. So Satan, he wants to accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He goes down to the courthouse that we would call heaven, and he goes through the magnetometers up front, and he goes to the courtroom, and finally the head angel of the courtroom opens the door, and Satan walks in, but that's as far as he can go. He's not going in the back. He's not sitting down with a buddy-buddy conference with Jesus Christ, with the judge. He can go up there. He can accuse. He can present his case, what he wants to do. In Job, that was, give me permission to go after Job's substance. And then when that wasn't successful in turning Job away from him, he said, give me permission to go after Job's health. You should be very careful when you look at somebody and say, oh, you got sick because you're sin. You've got cancer because you sin. Be very careful. Very careful. When somebody says to me, Pastor, I have cancer, is it because of sin? This is what I say. If it was because of sin, you would know it. You would not be asking me that question. And the very fact that you are asking me that question tells me it is probably not because of sin. Because if it were, you would absolutely readily identify that. You would know. So Job is suffering because of sin? No. Job is suffering as a testimony that he loves God, a testimony of his faith and trust. And all of that, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Quite amazing line. We also know, and I'll give you a lot of scriptures, you can copy them down, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we're not going to go there. But what do we know about Satan? That text says, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. He is a beguiler, and he is a liar, and he's going to convince you
alcohol is not going to harm you. Go ahead and smoke cigarettes. Go ahead and do some drugs. Not a big deal. Listen to your rock music that glorifies violence and sex and drugs and suicide, and you're going to be just fine. And many young people buy into that. And they are beguiled. That is Satan, through his subtlety. Even so, your mind should be corrupted. Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, warned them against the beguiling aspects of Satan and his desire to corrupt your mind. Satan gets angry. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, we're on Revelation on Wednesday night. The Bible says he was wroth. Satan was wroth, so he gets angry. He has desires. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 is Peter, and Jesus Christ is speaking to him and says, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. What did Christ say to Peter? Satan's got a desire, and it is not noble. Satan wants to destroy your life. He wants to sift you. He wants to wreck you. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I hope you have a King James Bible, because if you have a critical text Bible, you're going to think this is referring to Jesus Christ. This is not referring to Jesus Christ. And there is a huge difference. If you change your Bibles, you're going to change your doctrine. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, talks about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, notice the pride, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet shall thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Eventually, we're going to look on Satan, verse 16, They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Is this the guy I gave my life to? Is this the guy that beguiled me? Is this the guy, his subtlety, that I listened to? What was I thinking? That made the earth, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. And our cities are absolutely destroyed. That opened not the house of his prisoners. Is this the one? And it is. Anointed, created, cunning, he desires to kill and destroy. He is the destroyer of nations, and he will absolutely destroy you. We know that he was present in the beginning. You go to the book of Genesis and find that Satan tempted Eve. Eve was beguiled. And again, 2 Corinthians 11:3, many are corrupted as a result. We looked at this last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. He is able to transform himself into an angel of light. But Pastor, it looks so good. Yeah, he transformed himself, and you have just been beguiled, and you are about to be corrupted. And Satan fell, and is falling. Again, we saw in Isaiah chapter 14, was because of pride. And Paul, writing to Timothy in the first letter to Timothy in the third verse, the third chapter, the sixth verse, and when it comes to requirements of preachers, he is not to be a novice. Why? Lest being lifted up in pride, he fall to the condemnation of the devil. And so a young man comes out of Bible college and he tells me, Brother Bishop, you've been laboring in Alexandria for 30 years. You do not have the charisma that I have. But in the next 12 months, I'm going to be running 1,000. I've had young people tell me this. I'm going to be running 1,000 and you're going to be calling me up for advice. I say, what do you do? I don't bat an eye. Said, you are pragmatic. You are not going to make it in ministry. You are a novice. You have been lifted up in pride. And God is not going to prosper you if for no other reason than that reason right there. You're going to be lifted up in pride and you're going to fall to the condemnation of the devil. And many of those guys today are not in ministry at all whatsoever. They are not in church at all whatsoever. You can go to their home on any given Sunday morning. You can knock on their door and they will answer the door in their jammies and their flip-flops or sliders or whatever people wear. Not a novice. Many a precious soul have been beguiled, corrupted in pride. And I know that in the day and age in which we live, it looks like we're on the losing side. The Chicago White Sox, they are not a winning team. Last year, they won 41 games. They lost 121. This week, it looked like they were going to win. It was the ninth inning. They were up the bat. They had the bases loaded. And the tying run was on second, and the winning run was on first. There were two outs, and the ball got hit, and the runner on second base, Mr. Tackman, he's recovering from an injury. And as he rounds the base, he's got a hamstring injury, and he's around the base, his hamstring tightens up, and instead of running, he's limping. And then he just stops in the baseline. There are two outs, and now there are about to be three outs because he was an easy tag. They tagged him. He was out. The White Sox lost. I think it was now 7 in a row. They are on their way to setting another record for losses in this season. Say, hey, there's no way. Possibly they could lose this, and they did. So here's the thing. You look at Satan, you say, there's no way that he can possibly lose. But he is. And we sing the song, I'm on the winning side. And we are absolutely on the winning side. If you are on the side with Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed to win. Will there be some losses along the way? There absolutely will be. Will there be some down times? Yes, there will be. Will there be some times when you let down your guard and you fall prey to his attack? Just ask Diego, you let down your guard, that guy's going to hit you. Hopefully not tonight. In the present, what do we have? We have Satan. He has access to God. He is active. There are those that would say today that Satan is bound. I'm telling you, he is not bound. He is busy. He is absolutely busy. There, and today, he still has access to God. I mean, going to Wednesday night, we're in Book of Revelation, chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Revelation tells us about that time in the future where Satan will be cast out of heaven. The courtroom doors will be locked. There will be no more access to the throne room of God. There will be no more accusing the brethren to God. And his time is very short by the time you get to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 tells us, and that great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Hopefully he's not deceiving you. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. But right now he has access. That access someday will be taken. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them, you, Job, before God, before the throne, day and night. He's busy. And he is a skilled courtroom communicator. He is not bound today. Someday he will be bound. He'll be bound for 1,000 years. We memorize that passage, Revelation chapter 20. And and I saw an angel had a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And that we know is the millennial reign of Christ. But we are not in the millennial reign of Christ.
And if you think we are in the millennial reign of Christ, there are those that are out there that do, you know nothing about the millennial reign of Christ. In that day, Jesus Christ will be ruling with a rod of iron, and that is obviously not going on today. In the present day, we are reminded in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, to what? Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, looking for someone with their guard down. Don't let that be you. I need God's protection every single day. I need God's wisdom to be able to help people every single day. I need God's wisdom and help for me personally to make decisions every single day. And if the preacher can't make it without God's help, you're not going to make it either. He is active in warfare today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 reminds us that we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan is actively hunting Christians. And it is open season on Christians. Have you noticed that? In the government, in the workplace, in the school system, it seems like Christianity and Christians are open season. Why is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it's not difficult to see Satan at work in the day and age in which we live. So this was, I was working on this outline Thursday morning. And so I clicked on news. Can you see Satan working in governments of the world today in Thursday morning, 2025? And the first article that popped up was a DOGE article, D-O-G, Department of Government Efficiency. Are you ready for this? This is the article. First thing that came up, how long did you search? I didn't search. I clicked it, and I clicked the news site, and this is the headline, the big article that appeared right at the top. It was about unemployment benefits. They found some fraud in the unemployment benefits category. We've had some folks that have been unemployed, and they've tried to get unemployment benefits, and they have been denied. Now, I know them. I know they're real people. I know their work. I know that they paid in. I know that because of no fault of their own, they are now unemployed, and they need those benefits to carry them over until they get. I get that. So it's interesting to me what kind of folks get approved for benefits, because there are people that I know, people in the church, that have lost their job and are looking for those benefits and can't get them. So here's the people that get approved. 24,500 people over the age of 115 years of age claimed $59 million in benefits. So I just thought, how many of you in your lifetime, you've known somebody who is over 115 years old? One. How many of you in your lifetime, you've known somebody that was over 100? Oh, there's a few more hands. 24,500 people over 115 years of age claim $59 million in benefits. 28,000, this is really neat. 28,000 people between 1 year of age and 5 year of age were approved for benefits. How old are you? Briggs? You're eight. Oh, well, man, if you were 3 years younger, you could have applied for benefits. It's like, really? Yeah, yeah.
28,000 people between 1 and 5 years of age claimed $254 million in benefits. Ready for this, Mark? This one really astounded me. 9,700 people born 15 years from now claim $69 million in benefits. You just got to love this stuff. And then, there's my personal favorite in the article, someone who is going to be born in 2154, that's 129 years from now, claimed $41,000 in unemployment benefits. I was just like, really? I just tell you, Satan's alive and well on planet Earth. Deceiving and being deceived. So this afternoon, I thought it would be interesting. I sat down at the computer in the office during choir practice. I was on the computer all of 3 minutes. 3 minutes, three quick articles that were in the news today. So here's one. Wisconsin teen murdered parents in extremist plot to fund assassination of President Trump. He's in Wisconsin. So here's this young man in Wisconsin. He killed his parents so that he could cash in on their life insurance policy so that he could fund an assassination plot against the President of the United States. And the article said, quote, documents show that the 17-year-old was part of a satanic cult which has strong anti-Judaism, anti-Christian, and anti-Western ideologies. The second one I didn't actually search for. Brother Mark sent it to me. How far do you have to go to see Satan at work? Well, let's go to West Springfield High School. Article bulletin board in West Springfield High School is in the news. Do you have anybody here at West Springfield High School? Nobody? Okay. West Springfield High School, they have on the walls the ABCs. That's important, right? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down through Z. And every letter shows what it is significant for. The first letter of the alphabet, I know it's a Sunday and some of you haven't been in school since Friday, but help me out here. The first letter of the alphabet is? And what do you think A would stand for? When I was going to school, A, you'd see a little card and it was apple. Oh no, not in West Springfield High School. A stands for abortion. T, what do you think that stood for? Turtle. No, transgender. It is against Fairfax County Public Schools' stated policy to engage in controversial subjects when it comes to public display. I don't know what world they're living in. What is it? It is absolutely satanic. What do you think Q is for? It's not queen. Queer. Again, it's listed in their high school. It goes against what the president is doing. It goes against God's word. It is just in your face. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But here's the next phrase that God's word tells us. Deceiving, listen, this is normal. It's not normal. Deceiving, but the next phrase is telling. They don't recognize that they are being deceived. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What is going to happen in the future? In the future, Satan is a real being. In the future, he is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit. It appears that he is unstoppable. But you know from studying the book of Job that he is on a very tight leash. He can come before God, but before he goes and does anything, it has to be against a Christian. It has to be approved by God, and then it is within very strict parameters. That's for the person walking in the Spirit. Has the guardian angels around them. Satan just can't come after you until you say, I don't need God. I don't need God's help. Hey, angels, take the day off. I got it today. And he doesn't need God's permission because you've just given him permission to attack you. It's not a great, that's not a great thing. Say at chapter 14, we saw Satan has weakened the nations. Daniel chapter 12, we were there a couple of years ago. We saw that God, that Satan uses his demons to assist in governing the world. We saw this morning that he has great strength, incredible strength. Cause of much insanity in the world today is a cause of Satan, demonic, demon possession. It was 1989, morning rush hour out in Centerville. I was a young man. I mentioned this morning, at that time, I was running 8 miles a day. Now I have a hard time getting out of the chair. Running 8 miles a day, weightlifting 3 times a week. I was my body fat was 4.6%. I was cut. And I was a rookie. We were out in Centerville. That was my area, 840. In the daytime, we worked rotating shifts, so I was a baker unit. A, B, C, A is for midnight, B is for a daytime Charlie units for evening shift, and that I had rotated into the into the day shift, so I was a baker unit. And the radio came across, it was morning rush hour, 28 and 29, and there was a man, he was not on any kind of drugs. His drug test came back absolutely negative. But he was laying down in the intersection of 28 and 29. At the day, 1989, there was a traffic light. Now it's an overpass, underpass with clover leaves. But back in 1989, there were several lanes coming eastbound, coming out of Prince William County, coming northbound on 28, and they came to a traffic light. And it was a great place to enforce traffic laws, all kinds of people running up the shoulder. And so we were there. And a fella decided that he was going to lay down in the center of the intersection 28 and 29. And of course, all traffic stopped. Today, they'd probably just run him over. But all traffic had stopped. Nobody's going anywhere in morning rush hour. And so people start calling. And 810 Baker, 820 Baker, 840 Baker, 830 Baker, 860 Baker. We have a man laying in the intersection 28, 29. Respond. And so I was at the Exxon gas station, which was, I don't know, maybe 150 yards away. And so I walked up there. Well, here's this guy. He's laying in the middle of the intersection, and he's got a knife. And we approached him, and he's swinging the knife. And I'm a young kid, a little rookie. I don't know anything. And Jimmy Sizemore, he was an old veteran. And he comes here, he got hands in pockets, and he looks at the guy and says, "Come on, fella, get off, get out of the intersection, get moving." And the guy just looks at Sizemore and gives just a devilish grin, and he laid down like he was the Christ. And Jimmy Sizemore, with his big combat boots, and put his boot on his wrist, which isolated the knife, and we were on him. It was me and Jimmy Sizemore, and Tommy Hawkins was there. Tommy was a big guy. And there were 5 of us. I was the youngest. Dave Kuhar was there. And we were fighting this guy, and we fought him for all of 30 seconds. Got him up, got him handcuffs, got him out of the intersection. People were out of their cars, and they were cheering for us. They were cheering for us. And we all sat down because we all thought we were going to have a heart attack because this guy, he's not on his drug screens came back absolutely clear. But I can tell you that he was strong. He was a strong guy. And it took all of us to get him in handcuffs, get him in restraints, and get him out of that intersection. What are you saying, preacher? Man, you think you're going to have victory over the demonic by yourself in your life? I do not share your optimism. Why? Because I have wrestled with the satanic firsthand, hands-on. And I can't imagine trying to do it today. Satan is your adversary. He is not your friend. Satan is a slanderer.
Lucifer, the tempter, the god of this world, the evil one, the great dragon, the old serpent, the prince of the power of the air, Beelzebub, prince of devils, chief of devils, Belial, angel of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, Apollyon, destroyer. He is not your friend. Ksenia Karolina, American ballerina, she was released this week from a Russian prison. She had been sentenced to 12 years in a Russian penal colony. The charge was treason. She donated $51.80 to the Ukrainian war effort. And for that $51.80, she was sentenced to 12 years in a Russian penal colony. President negotiated her release, and she returned to the United States today, very thankful to be back. Say, preacher, what does that have to do with the message? A lot of people think they're going to get to heaven, they're going to stand before God, and somebody's going to negotiate their release. I'm here to tell you that when you are sentenced to hell for rejecting Christ, there will be no negotiations. Will Satan be bound for 1,000 years? He will. But Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You're here this evening, you don't know Christ as your Savior. I mentioned this morning, I'll mention it again. You are absolutely at risk for demon possession. Satan come inside, one of his minions come inside and live with inside of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have no protection. Tonight you say, "Preacher, I don't know Christ. I've never received the gift of God, which is eternal life. Tonight God is speaking to my heart. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me." Slip your hand up, hold it up for a moment. You're here this evening, you say you're a Christian. You know that you are under satanic attack, that Satan's minions are trying to get you and destroy you. You want the preacher to pray for you, have a special time of prayer for you. I'll do that this evening. "Preacher, pray for me. I feel that. I feel that attack. I need God's help." Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, Christians, they know you. They know the evil one. They know his wickedness. They know that he is subtle. They know that he is cunning. They know that he wants to destroy their lives. Father, help them to walk in the Spirit. Help them to avail themselves from the protections of the angels that you have at their disposal. Help them not to embrace the flesh. Help them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Help them to have victory, we pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The piano is playing, the altar is open.